Trend number two, U.S. manufacturing renaissance. Using figures from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Boston Consulting Group now estimates that the average wage for Chinese workers will be 17% of the average American worker's wage by 2015. In 2000, that figure was 3%. On the surface, 17% still seems low enough to entice American firms to locate manufacturing plants in China. But when other factors are considered, along with this rise in Chinese labor costs, choosing U.S. locations is beginning to make more sense. For perspective, it's helpful to understand how the U.S. arrived at the point where a comeback was necessary. In other words, why we declined prior to the currently unfolding renaissance. In 2000, China entered the World Trade Organization and made available its virtually limitless cheap labor, its growing ranks of engineers, its fixed currency, and its generous government incentives, including inexpensive land, free infrastructure, and financial incentives. As these factors made manufacturing in China the default choice for companies looking to cut costs, that country's exports jumped nearly fivefold from 2000 to 2009. In industry after industry, from apparel to furniture to telecom equipment, China's share of global exports soared. Meanwhile, 6 million manufacturing jobs vanished in the U.S. as tens of thousands of factories were shuttered. But now, more than a decade after the beginning of China's big rise, American manufacturing is experiencing its own resurgence. Consider the following examples, which are increasingly typical of the new economy. ExxonMobil is planning to build a multi-billion-dollar chemical facility in Baytown, Texas, that will employ 6,000 workers. U.S. Steel has added a $95 million plant in Ohio that will manufacture drilling rigs. The company has also just recently opened a mill at a factory in Ohio that will supply steel pipe for the drilling industry. NCR has reported it will begin producing its ATMs in a Columbus, Georgia plant that has hired 870 workers. And the Coleman Company will begin making its 16-quart wheeled plastic cooler in Wichita, Kansas, pulling production back from China. Companies that are choosing to make this move have compared the cost of manufacturing in various locations, and the new winner for many products is the United States. As already suggested, one significant factor is the rising cost of labor in China. From 2005 to 2010, the country experienced wage and benefit increases of 15 to 20% per year. During this same time period, average U.S. wages and benefits rose only 4%. The growth of Chinese labor organizations, combined with a growing middle class that is demanding a larger disposable income and a bigger supply of consumer goods, will inevitably cause this trend of rising wages to accelerate. But already, the dramatic increase in Chinese wages as a percent of U.S. wages is enough to trigger big changes. That's because even though China's 83% lower labor cost is a huge advantage, when you look at it in isolation, labor represents only a small portion of manufacturing costs in most industries. For some products, such as video cameras, the labor content is as low as 7% of the total cost. However, a machined auto part is higher, at about 25%. So when wages in China were exceedingly low, the savings could pay for the additional costs of choosing to manufacture in China, such as the cost to ship products stateside. But with the rise in Chinese wages, the savings in labor costs for many products no longer offset the other additional costs, taking away what had been an advantage for Chinese locations. This change is compounded by the fact that as wages have risen, so have some of these other costs, notably shipping. The cost to ship goods has been on the rise as crude oil prices have steadily climbed, doubling over the past 3 years. This translates into higher delivered costs to the U.S. markets, taking a bite out of savings gained from lower wages. An additional cost related to shipping is the long delivery times inherent in shipping from overseas. This represents a carrying cost of merchandise while on a boat and not on a shelf for sale. Back when the labor costs were low and the savings were significant, a number of other issues and frustrations were merely accepted as the cost of producing in China. These included quality control issues, threats to intellectual property, the physical distance between design and production, and the potential for supply chain interruptions due to natural forces or political unrest. With savings from labor costs now shrinking, these factors are increasingly tipping the scales toward choosing manufacturing locations in the U.S. Beyond the negative of rising Chinese labor costs, there are a number of positive factors that explain why manufacturing is returning to the U.S., and these factors provide clear signs of America's move toward a golden age of affluence. For instance, there is the growing cost advantage that the United States is developing over other affluent industrialized nations when it comes to energy and certain crucial raw materials. There's probably no better example than the development of horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, known as fracking. Today, this technology is already unlocking vast supplies of natural gas that, up until now, have been trapped in shale rock. Fracking has made access to natural gas so abundant that the U.S. is now sitting on a 100-year supply. And, as a result of the lowered cost of extraction, natural gas prices have plummeted. In 2005, domestic natural gas prices made the U.S. a high-cost location for energy-intensive manufacturing processes. But because of the drop in prices, this disadvantage has been totally reversed, and U.S. companies that had set up shop in other countries are moving back to benefit from this low-priced energy source. According to Dow Chemical CEO Andrew Anleveris, the discovery of shale gas is the basis of an American manufacturing renaissance, if handled well. It makes America a low-cost jurisdiction for any energy-intensive manufacturing of the value-add kind. Dow's engineers estimate that for every dollar of natural gas used for energy or as a raw material, $8 is added to our economy. According to Bob McCutcheon, industry leader for U.S. industrial products and metals at PricewaterhouseCoopers, the low cost of natural gas will have an extraordinarily positive effect on manufacturing in the years ahead. As McCutcheon asserts, the manufacturing sector could save $11.6 billion in cost and could create up to 1 million manufacturing jobs attributed to shale gas. But the positive factors driving the U.S. manufacturing renaissance go beyond the extraordinary advances in energy production and feedstocks. One is the weakening of labor unions that have been making U.S. manufacturing wages and work rules uncompetitive for decades. The other positive factor is an increase in U.S. productivity. This surge in productivity has been made possible by superior management methods, information technology, and re-engineered business processes. As these factors help expand the economy, new products and new industries will create even more new jobs. Based on this powerful trend, we offer the following forecasts. First, the ongoing manufacturing renaissance will greatly enhance America's edge in technology-driven advanced manufacturing. Today, even after decades of downsizing, the total value added by American manufacturing runs neck and neck with China, the only country that's even in the same league. Why? Because the flexibility of America's technically trained workers remains more important than the cost advantage of cheap overseas labor when it comes to producing the most valuable products. And that relative value will only increase because the high productivity factories of the 21st century will be increasingly technology-driven. As new manufacturing technologies, such as computationally engineered materials, 3D printing, and direct digital manufacturing emerge, The supply of high-tech workers will become one of the most compelling reasons to locate factories in the U.S. This edge will enable America to regain its position as the world's largest and most sophisticated manufacturer. Second, the pace at which manufacturers reshore to America will accelerate in the very near future. The initial wave has just begun. As the cost of labor, land, materials, and energy continue to rise in China, the equation for locating or relocating factories in the U.S. will be very simple to solve, even before factoring in transportation costs, import duties, delivery delays, and quality issues. Except for cheap commodity products or those requiring lots of hand assembly, companies will find it more cost-effective to manufacture goods in the U.S. rather than in China. Consequently, as many as 3 million new manufacturing jobs will be created in the U.S. in the next 10 years. And third, for the manufacturing renaissance to realize its full potential, the government will need to take three specific actions. First, there needs to be massive deregulation to unshackle businesses from needless measures that are inhibiting innovation and expansion. Second, there needs to be privatization of government services, such as education. This will bring down the cost of these services while delivering better results. And third, skill-selective immigration policies need to be implemented. The new era of manufacturing will require higher-level skill sets that will be met only through the immigration of highly qualified workers, coupled with more and better training of American workers. Admitting unskilled workers, for which there are few jobs, is counterproductive because it puts them in direct competition with U.S. citizens who are seeking entry-level jobs. Meanwhile, proactively recruiting scientists, engineers, and entrepreneurs from around the world is crucial to keeping the United States on top.